Welcome to Big Ten Daily on the Girly Truth Sports Network. I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster. Today, we're going to look back at last night's game as the Iowa Hawkeyes upset the Michigan State Spartans in Lansing, Michigan. And also, Wisconsin got a badly needed win by holding off a hard-charging Maryland Terrapins team at the end of last night's game to get the win 74-70. Then we will preview tonight's games between Penn State and Illinois, Indiana, hosting Nebraska, a couple more Big Ten games that have huge March Madness implications. But before we get to that, I want to tell everybody who's watching, if you want to bet on tonight's games, or any games for that matter, go check out BetMGM. BetMGM is your top sports book for betting on college basketball. Make sure you check them out in the link and description down below if you're watching on YouTube. All right, let's go ahead and check this out. Last night, the Michigan State Spartans. I was wrong on this pick. I did hit the second game. But this game, the Iowa Hawkeyes jumped out early, went on to beat Michigan State. And, you know, coming into Tuesday's game, Michigan State was riding a three-game winning streak. It felt like the perfect opportunity to grab a huge win with NCAA tournament or NCAA implications against the Iowa Hawkeyes, who were just 15-11 on the year and had just won two road games all season. Iowa's a bad defensive team, very good offensive team. But the Iowa Hawkeyes went out, outplayed, out-hustled. And Michigan State really was lackluster in a 78-71 loss. You know, Michigan State fell behind early, grabbed a 24-21 lead. Then Iowa went on a run that was never stopped by a Tom Izzo timeout for some reason. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit. If this was any coach other than Tom Izzo, the way this team has performed this year, people would be questioning whether it was time for Tom Izzo to leave. So let's look at this game. We'll get to that in a minute. But to me, post-production is an absolute disaster for Michigan State. I mean, what are they even doing at this point? Matty Sissoko got to start again, which wasn't shocking. And Tom Izzo said that he would be keeping him in the lineup. But he picked up two quick fouls. He played just five total minutes. Now, it's clear he's phasing Sissoko out. Just a little bit, at least. Carson Cooper played just 12 minutes, though. Jackson Kohler played 19. Not horrible, but a little head-scratching when you look at this team. The biggest head-scratcher to me, though, is Xavier Booker. He played just 6 minutes after Izzo vowed to let him see the floor more after his growth over the past couple months. He was a big reason why Michigan State was starting to look like the team people thought they would at the start of the season. In those 6 minutes, Booker had 2 points, two rebounds, and a block in 6 minutes. Apparently, for Tom Izzo, that's not good enough. Now, there's no reason that the most naturally gifted big man on the team should be playing just 6 minutes, especially when the Spartans were getting absolutely cooked by Ben Krikey for Iowa. You know, and it was horrible because Kohler, Sissoko, and Cooper combined to go 1-for-5 from the floor with 9 total rebounds. And don't get me started on the post touch that led to a horrible shot by Cooper in a critical situation. And Michigan State has issues. And the big thing is, it's the simplest mistakes that keep killing the Spartans. The absolute simplest mistakes crush this team over and over again. The mistakes that are made are so elementary that makes anyone who even played a second of organized basketball in their entire lifetime shake their head in disgust and wonder what the hell Tom Izzo's doing. Let's start with kicking the game off with Sissoko post-touch that led to a horrible fadeaway jumper from 2 feet out that has a conversion rate probably in the single digits. And then there's the failure by the bigs to catch passes from driving guards in the post. Cooper and Sissoko, I mean, it's almost like they put Vaseline on their hands before the game even started. You know, you had multiple missed layups. I could name 3 different missed layups to kind of crush this team's momentum. 2 were by A.J. Hoggard, and 1 was by Malik Hall late in the game when he could have cut the Iowa lead to 3 points. One of Hoggard's missed layups actually led to a transition basket. That's a 5-point swing, and if you watched the show yesterday, the thing that really makes Iowa good is when they can get into transition offense, and Michigan State allowed that last night, which I did not see coming. And the fact that this team cannot defend a backcourt cut to save its life. I mean, backdoor cuts destroy this team. It is horrible when the defense had some good possessions, but breakdowns led to easy baskets at the end of those possessions. Or how about, I mean, they fouled three-point shooters. Everything they did was not typical of Michigan State and the Tom Izzo team. The other thing, they lose by 7 points. Michigan State from the free throw line was 7-for-14. When I talk about this, we do an Indiana basketball show at the Grueling Truth. I do it with Brian Moore. You'll be able to see it tomorrow at about noon, recapping tonight's Nebraska game. But everything I'm saying here sounds like I'm talking about the Indiana Hoosiers. And Mike Woodson catches all kind of crap for this. Tom Izzo's getting away with it so far. But this game, like last year's loss to Iowa, falls completely on the shoulders of Tom Izzo. You remember last year they blew the, 13-point lead in the last minute or two? And at some point, Izzo has to take blame for a horrific loss. He has to take blame for a team that was ranked in the top five at the start of the season. And then they get off to a slow start. They look like they're coming back. They beat a good Baylor team by 24. They beat a good Indiana State team by 8. And in the Big Ten, though, they're just hit and miss. They're really inconsistent. Now, Izzo had a chance to add to this team's resume for the NCAA tournament. How they've got a net ranking in the 20s is mind-blowing to me. Just losing to really good teams probably shouldn't get you there. You probably should have more than 2 quality wins. Not to mention the fact that Cohen Carr played just 2 minutes after having his best game as a Spartan on Saturday against Michigan. Why would you not see if maybe we were on something with Carr? And Michigan State was horribly mismanaged, once again, as players who probably should have seen the floor more, I mean Booker and Carr, didn't. And those who didn't have their best games were playing extensively. It was an all-around disaster for Izzo and the Spartans. And yet Izzo went into his post-game interview and said, this is a quote, there weren't good matchups for Booker, which is why he didn't play more. Where were the good matchups here, Coach Izzo? Where were the good matchups? Xavier Booker is the best player, I think, to take care of that situation. And Xavier Booker was unseen during this game. He played 6 minutes, and when he played the 6 minutes, he was successful. So I would say right now, Tom Izzo's getting up there in age. Maybe the game's passed him by. What I mean by that is, with NIL money and the transfer portal, this is not the same as it used to be. You know, you can't just yell and browbeat a kid to death, because eventually he's just going to say to hell with it, and he's going to wait until he gets to the transfer portal and maybe go make even more NIL money next year. So there's a lot of questions with Michigan State. And I think they're going to make the NCAA tournament, and a lot of that's just because Tom Izzo's the coach. And that's a damn shame. Because Michigan State right now, to me, when I watch them, is not one of the 68 best teams in America. Maybe they're in the top 68, but we got 30-some conference winners to get in. So, no, they're not one of the 32, 34 best teams in the country right now. They're just not. They'll probably get in because of Tom Izzo, but right now, Michigan State is in utter disarray. The only thing that has been their saving grace this year is this Big Ten Conference is the worst that I've seen in years. And that's the only thing that is helping this team stay above water. When we look at the Iowa Hawkeyes, you know, I like to make fun of Fran McCaffrey. And it's easy to do the way he acts. But let's face it, Fran McCaffrey has a team that was probably expected to finish somewhere around 8th to 10th. And right now, they got 15, 16 wins. They've got an outside shot of getting into conversation for the tournament. But overall, the Iowa Hawkeyes since the start of the year have gotten better. Michigan State has not. Michigan State's kind of stayed the same. They did play a little bit better for a month or so, but they've reverted back to what they were doing at the start of the year, which got them off to the slow start to begin with. So, Fran McCaffrey, thumbs up. Iowa is getting the most out of their talent. Michigan State and Tom Izzo aren't. All right, let's go ahead. Let's look at the Wisconsin Badgers. The Wisconsin Badgers now, guys, are at a point in time, you know, where they just need to win a game. I mean, that's it. They've going into last night, they lost 5 of 6 games, including several ugly, embarrassing games. And, you know, right now, the way you win should not matter to Wisconsin. They have went from being probably a 2 seed to a 4 or 5 seed. They just need wins right now. They accomplished that on Tuesday. They used the first half surge to open a wide enough gap that they were able to hold on despite a furious comeback attempt by Maryland. And at the Kohl Center, Wisconsin held on to win 74-70. It was a quad two victory that improved the Badgers' record to 12-9 in quad one or two games, making them just one of four teams with that many victories in such games. Michigan overall is 18-9, 10-6 in the Big Ten. They get a week to rest before facing two road and two home games in advance of the postseason, including a pair of games against top 15 teams. So, my takeaways from this game are this. I thought the Wisconsin defense was much better than I'd really seen it, especially as of late. You know, when you look at them, head coach Greg Gard, forwards Tyler Wall, Steve Kroll, all agreed that this was a solid defensive effort against a team that has had hard luck in one possession games. Maryland's 1-6 in games that are tightly played. And they play, and when we look at this, one of the lower possession and slow tempo teams in the league, the Badgers, mainly guard Chucky Hepburn, made all conference point guard Jameer Young work exceedingly hard for his 20 points on 17 shots. He kept him off the 3-point line. He limited Young to just 1-for-4 from behind the arc. Now, they prevented center Julian Reese from taking over the glass. You know, he had 18 points, 7 rebounds. He had a solid game. But remember, Maryland's a team that's not very deep. They've got three guys to get it done. So if you can just kind of contain those three guys, you're usually going to score enough points to win the game. Now, a big part of Maryland's offense this season has been its ability to draw fouls. We know they're a poor shooting team, I think 28% for the three-point line coming into this game. But on its ability to draw fouls and get to the free throw line, Maryland ranks 14th in the country at getting offense from the free throw line. I think KenPom showed that they had a 42% ratio of free throw attempts to field goal attempts, and nearly 25% of its points have come from the free throw line this season. Wisconsin held Maryland to 23 attempts. More than half of those attempts, 12, came in the final 5 minutes of the game. So the fact is here, the Badgers, they gave up 34 points in the paint. The Terrapins went 14 of 21 on layups or dunks. Wisconsin did not play great. But Wisconsin right now, they've just got to keep stacking wins. Because with four games left, I would say it is very possible to get 2-2. If they go 2-2, they're probably looking at a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. Now, they do have games against two top 15 teams where if they could win one of those games, maybe they could get up to that 4 or 5 line. I'm not going to hold my breath from what I've seen for the last 7 or 8 games from this team. And really, this game was won in the first half. They had a decisive 10-0 run around the midpoint of the first half where Wall scored 6 of those points. He also notched a steal and an assist to A.J. Storr on the fast break, which led to a ferocious dunk into traffic. So what I saw last night overall was this. The Wisconsin Badgers and Michigan State Spartans still have issues. Maryland's always going to have issues because they don't shoot the ball that well. And Iowa is a team that has improved a lot. But if you look at this, the best side of a well-coached team is whether that team improves from the start of the season to the end. And what we saw last night is this. Wisconsin has not improved. They've gotten worse. Maryland has probably improved a little bit. They still came up short last night, but this is a team that's playing really shorthanded, not much bench. They don't shoot the ball well. Is what it is. Iowa, vastly improved. Michigan State, kind of stayed the same. All right, tonight we've got two Big Ten basketball games. The first one will be the Fighting Illini of Illinois. They will travel to Penn State, the battle to Penn State and Nittany Lions. Illinois is favored by 7.5 points, which, as you know, we saw Purdue on the road against Ohio State as an 8.5 point favorite. They ended up losing. The advantage in this game for Illinois. Illinois is an elite rebounding team, and they can do so from every position on the court. You know, they're big. At 6'4", Justin Harmon is the smallest rotational player. Otherwise, in the length in this team's program can overwhelm opponents. Illinois has 8 players averaging at least 3 points a game. They rank in the top 60 in both offensive and defensive rebounding. And most importantly, remember this, the Illinois Fighting Illini, if they win out, will be the regular season Big Ten Conference champions. You know, the Illini also shoot more threes than two. Penn State is reasonably good at guarding the perimeter, though. But the Nittany Lions rank 285th in defensive open three rate. This means they have received some luck defensively, even though they're holding opponents to less than 31% from deep. The Illini are shooting over 35% from the outside, so look for them to take advantage of a short bench for the Nittany Lions. Terrence Shannon Jr. is one of the best college basketball players, getting out in transition and at least drawing a foul, which will cause problems for this Penn State defense. Penn State has played much better over the last month. You know, new coach, done a great job so far. And Penn State also likes to shoot from three. And it may be hitting only about 33% from the outside. But then again, you know, they had Clary, who just got released from the team, was the best shooter on the team. But also, we saw with Clary not playing when he was suspended, they played some outstanding games over that stretch where he was gone. So I think Clary was more of an issue on this team than he was a problem solver. And I think Penn State did a great job in removing him from the situation. And Illinois has struggled to guard the perimeter at times in conference play, you know. But the Illini greatly limited teams' ability to even launch threes. Penn State's going to have to knock down a lot of threes to stay in this game tonight. I know it's a away game for Illinois, and I know Penn State's missing Clary. I think that's an advantage for Penn State to be missing Clary. There was issues there. They removed the cancer from the team. The Nittany Lions lost their leading scorer and a key three-point contributor. But like I said, I think it makes them better. I think we saw that when he was suspended and they played the game they played at Indiana. They shot lights out. They played hard. They're going to give you that tonight. All right. Now, Illinois on the road, not as bad as some other Big Ten teams. Illinois is 7-2 against the spread on the road this season. And I look for the Illini to continue their march towards a potential Big Ten championship. I think Illinois wins this game. I think they covered a 7.5 points. The points does scare me, but I don't see Penn State going off in three-point range against the Illini defense. They're big. They're athletic. They could close out on threes as good as any team in the Big Ten. Take the Illini -7.5 tonight. Don't fall into it's a road game in the Big Ten, so jump it. Next up, the struggling Indiana Hoosiers against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And when I look at this game, their first game was a game where Khalil Ware dominated the game. The problem was Keisei Tominaga. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Hopefully I'm at least close. But Tominaga had one of the best games of the year that we've seen anybody in the Big Ten play. He dropped 28 points on the Hoosiers. He dominated the game from the perimeter. And we know, if you're an Indiana fan, perimeter defense has been an issue most of the year. Now, Assembly Hall is an environment that would strike fear into any team, especially one like Nebraska. You know, Nebraska has not been in the NCAA tournament since 2014. The last time Nebraska was in the NCAA tournament, though, was also the last time that they beat Indiana in both games during the season. Now, earlier this season, playing in Indiana certainly impacted the game, particularly when Indiana hosted Maryland, Kansas, Ohio State. The crowd was into it. And the problem is now, given the direction of Indiana's program and the apparent distaste for some with its head coach, it seems unlikely fans will bring that energy and give a true advantage to the home team here. Actually, I think it's been kind of disgusting the way Indiana fans have booed their team during the game. And yes, they've played bad enough to be booed. But damn, you lose your home court advantage when you boo, guys. And we saw Indiana get booed when they played Morehead State. Indiana came back. Huge deficit. Double digits. 6 minutes left. Came back and won the game. Fans, if you're at Indiana and you're going to the game tonight, be positive. You paid your money. No matter what you think of the head coach, no matter what you think of anything, if you're an Indiana Hoosier fan, cheer your team on during the game, because that momentum, and we've seen it with this Indiana team, they never play 40 minutes, but they'll play 5, 10, 15 great minutes, and sometimes that's enough to get them back in the game and possibly win it. So don't lose your home court advantage tonight if you're Indiana Hoosier fans. Cheer your team on. All right, we've already talked about what Tominaga did in their last game. they have to do something to limit him. Now, I the problem with Indiana basketball is this. Right now, what you get every night is what you get every night. There's almost never anything done. If you remember earlier in the year, everybody was freaking out because of the great job Woody did with going zone, and that had a direct effect on them winning the game. We've not really seen any brilliant coaching moves since there. You know, so the other matchup here, you know, you got Tominongwa, who is going to be almost impossible for Indiana to guard. I don't know who guards him. Xavier Johnson's not going to be there tonight, I don't think. The last Woody said is a week or two out. Not that I think Xavier Johnson is a be-all, save-all here, but Xavier Johnson is probably the best on-ball defender Indiana has on the perimeter. So the other mismatch is Rink Mast. Mast struggled in his matchup against Khalil Ware last time out. Ware scored 20 points, making 9 of 11 attempts from the paint. Mast also labored on the offensive end when guarded by Ware. He finished the game with just 9 points on 3 of 10 shooting. Indiana has a huge advantage here. They had the same huge advantage in their last game against Northwestern. And what happened? Khalil Ware, first 10 minutes of the game, is for some reason bouncing around out by the perimeter. He needs to get his ass in the paint if Indiana wants to win this game. And he needs to dominate this game. All right? The game of basketball has evolved, particularly at the collegiate level. Indiana is a throwback team. That is not a compliment. The best teams in college basketball this year, and by and large, those best teams are filled with great shooters. You know, even Matt Painter addressed the shooting situation at Purdue when he added Lance Jones to the team. You know, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, also Cam Spencer, all developed a better three-point shot. You know, the only team I could compare this to successful right now is Kansas, who is another team that's an outlier, but they're actually winning right now. But at least they have potential two All-Americans in Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McClure. But the issue is Indiana doesn't have – I mean, Khalil Ware and Malik Renew are not going to be All-American players this year. Khalil Ware is extremely good. He's not far from it. Indiana's roster is built in old school fashion. It almost looks like they're trying to make the tournament in 1984 more than it is 2024. You know, they fit the mold of what head coach Mike Woodson was used to seeing. All right? And filling your roster with elite shooters is not something Coach Woodson put a priority on last offseason. It's something if he doesn't put a priority on it this coming offseason, Indiana will be looking for a new coach at this time next year. But hopefully he's learned his lesson. All right? Johnson's injuries have forced Gabe Cupps to try to grow up fast. He struggled. He actually had a solid defensive game last time out against Boo Booey, but a lot of that was more Boo Booey missing open shots. Cupps is serviceable right now. Trey Galloway is a guy who he had 12 assists last game, but he almost seems like he's trying to force everything and take the game over himself. Malik Renew, if you throw the ball into him, he's not throwing the ball back out. The other issue with Renew is last year he had foul issues. This year he hadn't had until the last 5 or 6 games, and now we've got him fouling at a high rate like he did last year. So right now the point spread is Nebraska -1.5. And I think this time of year reveals a lot about a basketball coach and his program. And this is why I gave Michigan State so much crap. Nebraska, to me, is a much improved team this year. All right? Their road losses, they've had a tough road schedule. They've lost a lot of road games. Indiana, though, unless they open up with a great start tonight, that home court advantage isn't going to be there. Those fans are going to turn on Indiana. If they fall behind 12-4 at the start of the game, they're going to hear boos. That hurts because that eliminates your home court advantage. All right? You've got Mike Woodson. To me, he's not a lame duck coach. He's going to be here next year. He's going to get an offseason to fix this. That's fine. But since we already know that, Indiana fans, maybe don't show up and boo him. Support the team because you're an Indiana fan. You can sit there and bitch all you want after the game and complain about everything that was horrible. But during that game, be a Hoosier. All right? I'm taking Nebraska to win this game. I know it's on the road, and I know Nebraska is 0-7 straight up on the road in Big Ten play, but its road schedule in conference play has been very difficult, probably the most difficult road schedule in conference play. They did beat Indiana by 16 earlier in the year. I don't think they'll beat them by 16 tonight, and I think there is a way for Indiana to win this basketball game, and that is basically hit the ball in the post to Ware, you know, have Ware kick it out every once in a while, shoot the ball, play fast. We saw the last 5 minutes of the Indiana loss to Northwestern where Indiana was taking the first shot available. They were passing the ball around crisply. They were shooting the ball. They were playing like they weren't thinking. All right? It almost seems like to me everything is being overthought. Everybody wants to take the game over by themselves because they all want to win the game so bad. In the end, it comes down to this. Indiana got out-rebounded by a Northwestern team that never should have out-rebounded them. Indiana does not get after loose balls the way Nebraska does. Nebraska shoots free throws better. Nebraska plays harder. Nebraska, for right now, for lack of a better term, is a better coach team. And it's not a shot at Mike Woodson, because right now, if I was talking about Nebraska against Michigan State, I would tell you Fred Hoiberg has done a better job this year than Tom Izzo. So I will take Nebraska and give the 1.5 points. So I think we actually have two road teams in the Big Ten that will win games tonight. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. I just want to tell you, tomorrow morning, there will be another Big Ten Daily Show. We'll recap both games tonight. We'll preview the game tomorrow night against Rutgers-Purdue. We'll take a deep dive into that game. We'll check all that out. And tomorrow afternoon, sometime afternoon, if you're an Indiana basketball fan, myself and Brian Moore, we'll have the Indiana Basketball Weekly Show. We'll recap the Nebraska game. And also, I want to remind you, if you're going to bet on any of these games, go to BetMGM, top sports book ranked by the Grueling Truth. Make sure you click on the link in the description down below on YouTube. And make sure you follow us on X at Grueling Truth. You can also follow the Got Woodson Facebook page if you're an Indiana fan, now has an X page. And the founder of that, Brian Moore, actually does the Indiana Weekly Show with me. He'll probably be on for some Big Ten Weekly shows also. But make sure you go follow him at @Got_Woodson on X. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Enjoy another great night of Big Ten basketball. But for now, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been watching and listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.